Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is 3:23 in Muskegon. Big Rob is here today. He just cruised in. How you doing, Rob?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
All right. We got a very, very important guest in the studio, Rob. You know, we talk about how much I travel and how much President Obama travels.
Yes.
And how much John Covington, Secretary of State John Kerry.
All them guys.
All them folks. Well, there's somebody else who's racked up probably about 1,000,000 miles.
2 million behind.
Elder Pastor Chris Burns is in the studio. How you doing today, Pastor Burns?
Doing good, man. How are you?
All right. Now only can he fly, Rob. This dude probably can jog to Grand Rapids. Him and Melvin did cross country back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I just admired them, man. They just can run. Let's run all day.
You are definitely touching on a different era.
What's the furthest have you ran?
I don't know. I remember one day when I was before I got into high school, I got up and I started at 9 and I stopped around 5 in the afternoon.
See what I'm talking about, Rob?
But I only did that once. Just
that's 8 hours, man.
Yeah.
He sounds like somebody else we know very well. Court.
Oh, your son Court.
Yeah. That's what he does.
But the Court is good. They special.
Oh no, I'm not saying you know that's a heck of a tag.
Yeah.
I said there's only one other person, and that's my son. He runs like that.
Right.
And it seemed like I asked him all the time, what are you running for?
Yeah.
Does he give an answer?
No.
It's just like, well, it's what I do.
That's
what I do.
That's what he does.
So when we come back, Pastor Burns just got back from Cuba and Panama, and we're going to ask him about his experience, talk about his experience. He had a chance to see a former Muskegon resident, Mr. Martinez, who was our track coach, state winning
state champion in 1978, one of the same years that we won that in basketball. So it was, some people got a chance to get two state champions.
You know, I didn't realize that until you posted that on Facebook.
Yeah,
I forgot that we won it in track and basketball.
Yeah,
same year.
And we came close a few of those other years in there too.
Yeah. So he's gonna give us this experience, man, because that is on the top of my wish list, is to go to Cuba.
I'm quite sure that's not too far away for you.
Well, we find out. Pastor Burns, give me the hookup.
You can do it, bro.
But not only has he been there, we talk about his other experience.
Other places
he's been. To Israel. He's been to Kenya.
He ain't telling
me Israel. He's been to Greece.
No, I haven't been to Greece yet.
You haven't been to Greece?
No.
Italy?
I've been to Italy.
Italy, that's what I got confused about.
But I'm talking to somebody. What? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's leave right there.
Yeah, he's a world traveler, Rob.
You may be prophetic. Talking to somebody about Greece this morning.
Maybe it's the buildings kind of similar from Italy to Greece.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah,
I saw the pictures of you in Italy and just thought it was Greece.
It's close.
Wow. So we're going to talk to him about his journey to Cuba, one of the most beautiful islands that about 45 minutes south of Miami.
Yeah, on a plane, it's 45-minute flight, 90 miles away, you know.
Been very hard to go.
Yeah.
We're going to find out about your journey. Keep it here. It's Afternoon Jams, 103.7 The Beat.
Speaking for the city, 103.7 The Beat.
3:35 in Muskegon. Before we get into the show with Pastor Chris Burns, the young man who was ran over the weekend, Rory Robinson, 28-year-old Rory Robinson, has died. He passed yesterday. We withheld information. We knew what was going on. Big Rob, you were there when it happened.
Yeah.
And the family is looking for closure. They have not been able to identify the driver who ran over this young man and kept going, right?
Right.
And so if you have any information, they suspect that it's a U.S. SUV, Tahoe, Suburban, 2000, dark color, that should have some kind of damage on the front of the truck. Now, this occurred. What day was that, Rob? Saturday?
Saturday at around 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. PM. Apple and Stevens. That's near what? The KFC? Right?
No, it's a little further down.
Further down?
Yeah. There's the Domino's in that area and stuff like that. So
this happened at nighttime on a very busy Apple Street. So if you saw a truck that might have, you know, looked like it ran over somebody and kept going, stopped and kept going, they're trying to identify this person, this young man, 28 years old, that's now gone because of that.
So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then Rob, yeah, we didn't get a chance to even sing birthday, happy birthday to you yesterday because you celebrated a birthday on Sunday.
Yes.
But you had to deal with this.
Yes.
And so later on in the show, we're going to sing happy birthday to Big Rob. He became 57 years old. He looks good for his age.
Man.
Yeah, he looks good, Pastor.
Sweet, man.
Yeah. He's Jamaican, man. Jamaican, yeah. Jamaican and German.
I see him.
Right.
Heidi Ice.
Right. So we're going to make sure we do that to him later on. In the studio, Pastor Chris Burns is in the building. He's one of our heroes, Rob.
Yes.
He's a fireman.
Yes.
How long have you been a fireman?
27 years, Grand Rapids Fire Department.
Wow, 27 years saving lives. Going in when I'm running out.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get out of there. Well, let's talk about your journey to Cuba. What made you decide to go to Cuba?
Well, I believe it probably had been in my heart for a long time. I think when I was probably about 17 or 18, I was talking with my dad one time. And I said I wanted to know everything about the history of family, because I was one of those kids who, you know, when the old people were talking, I wanted to hear about everything. Time to go to bed. Yeah, but I want to hear some more.
Right.
And so it was a few years after Roots had became popular, and I wanted to know everything, and I wanted to write it down. So I wrote it down, but now what I can't find is the connection of which relative. We had a relative, an ancestor, that came to the U.S. from Cuba.
Oh, really?
I figured out which line of the family is, but so that's going to take a little bit more effort to find out. So I think that was always there.
Wow.
And then in more recent years, there's always been a certain desire to know more about that particular island.
Wow.
And so that's been there.
Was it hard for you to get there? Because you just can't hop on a flight tonight, you know, even with a passport, and say, I'm going to Cuba.
Well, since the embargo in the early 60s, of course, it was, you know, it was a don't go. Don't mm-hmm. go there. Don't go to North Korea. You know, unless you're Dennis Rodman or somebody.
Right.
Yeah. Then, but there are, for years now, for decades, there's been four or five different ways that you could go legally. Now, from what I understand, it's about 150,000 Americans go there every year.
No, really?
And about 75,000 of them. 75,000 of them go legally, mm-hmm. and 75,000 of them go illegally.
Oh, wow. And there's an illegal way.
There is an illegal. There's always an illegal way. That's the way of
is
the
that
world.
Getting on the plane out of Mexico and flying from Mexico. Okay.
Right. But the embargo for Americans go there. But the ways that you can get there legally mm-hmm. Involve the reason that you're going. You can go there for ministry purposes that have to do exchange of culture, mm-hmm. things that have to do exchange of education, along those lines, humanitarian efforts, things along those lines. But still there's jumping through a few hoops and things like that still to get there.
Right.
And even with the organization I went with, which was New Harvest Ministry out of Zealand, headed by Herb Stewart, now Dave Skolton, you can have your passport. And it has to be through if you're from the U.S., it has to be through a charter company. The regular airlines don't fly there.
Okay.
You may come right up to the day and you don't know whether your visa is actually approved.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
And you can get your visa approved. And then that day, and they say, no, not today. So.
would a U.S. would say that?
Well, no, because the visa has to be approved by the Cuban government for you to enter there through that process. That's up to them.
So you can buy your tickets. And don't have a visa.
You can pay for the ticket through one of these charter organizations, and it is just a cat and mouse game, game, so to speak. Because on this side, the charter company is waiting for the visa, and the people at the visa offices in Cuba is waiting for the charter company. And how they do that,
right?
I don't know.
Wow.
I have an idea. But I'm not going to say it on radio.
Okay. All right. Now, how long were you in Cuba?
I was there for 8 days.
Were there any kind of communication? Did you have any kind of communication back to U.S.?
It was difficult. There was a way for me to do it through one of the gentlemen who was Cuban that I was dealing with, who happened to have an email account that wasn't his email account. As a matter of fact, I don't want to expose him too much, but he had an email account because his sister had an email account.
Okay.
Now, his sister is Cuban, but she's married to a guy from Britain.
Okay.
And he makes movies.
Okay.
And so he has the ability had the ability to do that, and so he was able to communicate with us more directly than most would be able to. As far as the internet, forget about it.
No, you couldn't get on the internet.
Shut down.
Wow. Yeah. So no communication about what's going on in Miami.
Right.
90 miles away.
No. Not unless somebody's sneaking the information in through some other kind of route. But that's one of the things that I mentioned while we were there with the group that was there. It's like I've been into several places. We talked about Africa, some right. big cities in Africa. Right. And then the areas of Africa that we would call the wilderness, the bush.
Right.
You know, it's not politically correct to say the jungle. But for people who don't know what I'm saying about talking about, there's vast pieces of land in Africa, whether it's covered with trees, mountains,
right.
dust, whatever,
right.
where you're out there.
Right. Right. Way out.
I've had much better communication from there than when I was in Cuba.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So very basically.
Cut off.
This wow. is in the city of Cuba.
Yeah, in the cities, yeah.
How is
Havana, over 2 million people.
How's the lifestyle? How's the living standards there? We hear a lot of great stuff about Cuba, then we hear a lot of bad stuff about Cuba.
Well,
from your perspective.
From my perspective, there's an enormous amount of poverty. Now, and sometimes we get a capsule mentally about what we consider poverty. Okay, so they got some pretty decent-looking buildings that were built over the last 100, 150 years and things like that. So I say, okay, well, they're not living in a hut or not living on the edge of a rock or something like that.
Right.
But there's an enormous amount of – it was the same kind of poverty that I've seen in any other, for lack of a better description, third world country.
Okay.
The average income, depending on who you ask, is about $16 to $18 a month.
Wow.
But some of the bills that they pay are no different than the kind we pay. So you have people who will work at a job, quote unquote, but many people will refuse to work at a job because it's not enough to live on.
Hmm.
It's a nation that has built its own subcultures, own sub economies. Of course, there's black markets and things like that. And you hustle because $16 or $18 a month is not enough to live
survive.
On. Yeah. Yeah. Example, one of the first guys that I had an ongoing conversation with. Was a guy named Tony. He drove me a few places around. I took a picture of the back of his car. I couldn't find it. But he's got like a 15 to 20-year-old Russian station wagon.
Okay.
You know, another guy who I was with was trying to get money to get a vehicle. He needs one because he's a pastor, and he's 2 hours by bus away from the place, the church that he serves.
Right.
He's got a daughter who gets sick on the bus, so that's a challenge.
Right.
We're looking at some prices on things. It would cost about $10,000 for him to get that same 20-year-old Russian station wagon.
Oh, wow.
$10,000.
Wow.
$10,000.
Wow, 20-year-old.
For a 15-20-year-old Russian station wagon.
So cost of living is high then?
It's high because of the manipulation of the people.
Of the people. Is the government that is doing all this?
Sure, that's part of it.
Have you seen the effect of United States embargo?
Yeah, the effect of one of the effects of it is that when somebody's in charge, regardless of what you want to call it, whether you want to call it a democracy, socialist,
dictator,
kings, whatever you want to call it, a person who has power or persons or groups who have power have a decision whether they're going to rule with righteousness and justice or whether they're going to rule with control and keep the foot on the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that respect, I have my choice about, what governmental system I prefer. But it doesn't make a difference if people still decide in their hearts
right.
that they're going to crush. And so that's what I noticed that in conversations where people were a little bit free to talk about things, because wherever people meet, somebody for the government is also there.
They're always there.
Always there listening to see what you're talking about.
So there's sometimes a serious censorship now.
Yeah, big time. More than any place I've ever been. More than China.
More than China?
Yeah, well, I mean, wow. I can't judge across the world, but this is what I noticed about China. When I was in China, yes, billionaires after billionaires popping up out of China. But again, that's if you jump through all the hoops, pass all these and, different tests, and you're a friend of somebody, they give you a contract to do this, a contract to that, you're in, you're out, all kinds of things. But from 91, I remember seeing the thing that happened at Tiananmen Square mm-hmm. when they decided to get rid of that protest. Well, it's 20-something years later, and they have protests in China all the time. There's over 1 billion people live in China, so they have a big protest. There may be 1 million people, 2 million people, 5 million people to show up at a protest in China
right.
today. When was the last time you saw one on TV? You don't see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's still a great, tremendous amount of censorship that goes on there. I've seen more protests happen in Iran than I have in China.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people protest stuff in Iran that I haven't seen. I haven't seen that since 91 in China.
Right. No, there's no Facebook and no Twitter, no YouTube in China because of the censorship.
Right. So, yeah, so it's a decision of how much control you want to have over people to keep them where they are, or if you decide it's necessary to keep them where you are so you can keep what you have.
So on a scale of 1 to 100, how much control is the Cuban government over his people?
Oh, it's in the 90s.
In the 90s?
Yeah.
Wow. Baseball games, I understand there's no liquor allowed. There are some other restrictions on how you meet in public. You got to have permits to meet in public. Yeah. Certain places, they designate where you should meet at. Now, there are some good in Cuba because the literacy rate is in the 99%.
This is one of the things that stands out for me. And I guess we'll talk about this part, is most time when I end up going to a place is by prayer. I'm going because something got me in the heart, got in my eyes. Now I like to, don't get me wrong, I like to travel anyway. And I'm, you know, hey, you got a cruise? Okay, I'll take it. You know, but most of the time there's something that's going on in me that has me turned toward a place. And if I can speak openly about it, usually there's something going on spiritually in that place that I may not see and may not know about. And maybe it manifests physically. Maybe it manifests politically or militarily.
Right.
And then I see it. But there's something on the inside that pulls at me first. There's a lot of good. Own observation of how I feel about it, I believe that Cuba has been a place that has been sending missionaries throughout the world, even though it's controlled.
Right.
And these missionaries have been doctors. They have a lot of the finest doctors, medical doctors, in the entire world,
right,
which makes no sense.
Right.
Just cut and dry, laid on the table, that doesn't make sense. So what's going on there? Well, you know, that's for other people to decide what's going on there technically of how that occurs.
Right.
But the rest of the world is benefiting from their doctors in the way that they see medicine or care for people. So they've already been missionaries in that aspect.
And it's free. College is free.
It is free. It is free.
So you get a doctor's degree. You become a medical doctor.
Right.
The government tell you need to go do community service somewhere, right?
Right. Well, they give you opportunity to.
Opportunity to.
Yeah.
Is that to pay back your debt or what?
I don't know about that end of it.
Okay.
They have now, even though they send a lot of medical help to the rest of the world, mm-hmm, it's still a third world country. There's still a lot of help that ain't this undone there.
Wow.
So the problem of people being controlled is a problem, no matter what the banner is.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's what the big challenge is there.
I got a lot of questions for you. I hope you got time. We'll go to a song and come back, because I want to ask you about how they feel about America. I want to ask you about how do they look. No, do they look like Rob? Do they like me?
Yes, yes. You keep naming people. Yes, yes, yes.
Talk about all that. And then he went to Panama. I want to ask you about how they look. You know.
Yeah.
So we got Chris Burns here. He hanging out with us. It is always an honor to have you, man. This guy is a world traveler, Rob, man. I learn a lot just from seeing your pictures. And you look. They say, won't you know how? Afternoon Jams 103.7. A little Luther for you, Rob. You don't know nothing about that, man.
No, I don't know nothing about that.
You never forget how to love. I feel sorry for if you don't know how to love, man. It's a bad situation to be in. Chris Burns is here, fresh back from Cuba, where he had a chance to hang out with Castro, and he had a chance to hang out. He ain't saying nothing. He's working on another task. He don't know I already slipped him, so he's hanging out with Castro.
Wow.
Now, tell me, Chris, on a serious note, how do they feel about America? How do Cubans feel about America?
it's a loaded question because
I know.
And it's kind of like asking how do Americans feel about Cuba. You get a lot of answers.
It's a variety, huh?
It's a variety of answers. I believe that most people in Cuba, this is my belief, would have preferred that the embargo were not there.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of what they hear about America comes directly from the people who control the media.
Okay. Which is the government.
Which is the government.
Right.
So the government of Americans, the people of Americans, different institutions of Americans, Cubans who've left Cuba and come to America, you may come up with different reasonings. But I believe that most Cubans prefer that there were a relationship with America. It's a kind of a limited view in what they think of America, mm-hmm. because even if you decide I don't believe this, what do you have to balance it out with for what right. you haven't heard?
Right. And the same thing too. We don't. There is some good in it, in Cuba too, right?
Tremendous good.
And that right,
that's because people are there. And so, I mean, look, everybody's made in the image of God, regardless of what to do with it.
Right.
And so you see the beauty of that image coming out through people.
Right.
But you also see, the seedier aspects of just trying to survive through tough times and challenges and things like that, too. So
how do they look? Tell me, Cubans. How, man, give me the no, how do they look? They look like me, Rob, like
yes,
Teron,
yes,
Teron
yes,
here?
Yes,
parents.
Yes, me. They look like everybody. They look, I mean, you know, the mix is from the Europeans who moved there, the Spaniards, so that plays a part in how they look. There's, the Atlantic slave trade. That came to the Americas. Only 4% of the Atlantic slave trade came to the United States. So the other 96%
is all over
the South America and the Caribbean. So from the black people, you got every complexion, every body type, and all those different things. And the mixes of that from the indigenous people, different Native Americans, tribes, or Indians, as it were. And there's different mixtures. So it's a very much a brown and black visage.
They look
also,
like us.
But also, they look like everybody. Look at you know. Mm. If you
wow,
you know, you've been in New York City. They look like New York City. You know, yeah. Mm. Maybe not New York City. New York
right.
City's got like 200 nations living there. So.
Right, right.
But it's wide variety, but very much, I would say brown.
How much of the Cuban culture reminds you of African culture?
A lot of it, just like in most areas throughout the Caribbean, you see parts of. Now there's a great deal of pride in the Spanish connection.
Okay.
So you see that too, but then you know the Spains were also affected greatly by the Moors.
Right.
So the Spanish history has a great.
All come back to Africa.
All that come back to Africa, but you see from various people from different tribes and nations from Africa that would come at different times, whether they were navigators or whether they were on the bottom of the ship, parts of home still ended up being a part of the culture.
Wow. Yeah. What do you think contributes to the 99% literacy rate that the Cubans is at the top? They're at the top or lack of HIV, AIDS?
Well, here's the thing. For whatever reason, they've decided they were going to that the nation was going to do something about the education level concerning medicine.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what else they didn't do, they did decide they were going to do something in that area. The literacy rate usually has to do with desire.
Mm-hmm.
It usually has to do with desire. Yeah, everybody wants to do something. The thing that makes people lazy is having, sometimes it's having achieved without having that thing that's out there for desire.
The work.
Yeah, right, the work. You know, for our history here,
right.
After the Civil War, for a couple of generations, something happened that has not been touched anywhere around in the world, which is within about 40 years, our literacy rate went from below 5% mm-hmm. to about 70%. That's
okay.
Happened nowhere else in the world.
Right.
What was that? What was the reason? Desire.
Right.
Why is there a high literacy rate in communist China?
Right.
Desire. And so the desire to do well, to do better, to do, they know that life is hard.
Right.
But there's an opportunity to do this thing, then right. I will do this thing.
Wow.
And of course, people don't want to feel bad about hard times. What they want to feel is that they want to feel hope.
Okay.
They want to feel, okay, I'm doing this. That can be a challenge. But what has been provided is an opportunity to excel in that area.
Wow.
So that's where they excel.
Chris Barnes in the studio, Pastor Chris Barnes, just back from Cuba. People are like, why Cuba? Why not Cuba? Cuba is actually... Seems like it should be part of America almost, so close
well,
to it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
it's pretty close.
But we've been so shut off from this country where...
Yeah, their flag is red, white, and blue, too.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, sure it is.
Yeah,
it is.
So you know there's a connection.
Do you think the embargo was fair? We give more privilege to China, who has, in Vietnam, who has harsher humanity... relations.
This is my opinion on it. The embargo was for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and it's lasted for over 50 years. So the decision made, has the reason for putting it in place, has it been effective? Has it worked? Mm-hmm. Some would say, hold out. My opinion is it hasn't worked. Now, even to mention the embargo as just a flat question, it still has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're, no matter what Russia says, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. They still, they still, when the void was, there was a reason for the revolution that overthrew Batista, late 50s, early 60s. There was a reason to get rid of him, and they did. But once the people who got rid of them were in charge, they took on some of the same characteristics and became dictators themselves.
Right.
And in the middle of them being just, across the pond, in the middle of the pond, it's in the shadow of the U.S., they're vulnerable for whatever it is they're going to try to do. They could be overthrown by America or some other place. They're new, a new government, even though they just took over the Owen. Within a few years, they allowed themselves to be friends with Russia.
Right.
Of course, what Russia gets out of that is they have a satellite that's 90 miles away from
America.
Miami.
Right, from America. Right.
And so they end up in a relationship that stood over time. So we have to recognize that part is that part of that party that does that from the other side of the world that still does consider the U.S. the enemy. Wow. It does still exist there.
Would you like to see a better relationship between our youth in Cuba?
I think it's a good, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's not something we've talked about, but we talked about different ways that you get there, cultural exchange of ideas, exchange. That opens up the possibility of youth, whether they're teenagers, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, beginning to close that gap through relationships. You want to keep somebody an enemy, just make sure you don't know anything about it. Of course, there's a term, keep your friends closer, your enemies closer.
Right.
But I don't think that the hold that the government has had on the people would be the same if there had been, at some point, the loosening of the possibility for relationships. Now, that's not given the go ahead for the stuff. They are responsible for some serious atrocities. And yes, from my observation, the control is
there.
It's definitely there. It's unmistakable.
Every move that you made. Someone, they had to know what you was doing.
That's the idea. That's the idea.
So they're tracking you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's the idea.
How's the land? How does the land look?
The land is certain areas you got in mind. Of course, it's the biggest. It's the biggest piece of land in the whole Caribbean. It's the biggest island in the Caribbean. The only one that comes close is Hispaniola, which is was it Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Tunis. So it's hilly. Mountainous in certain areas. It's beautiful land.
Okay.
Beach areas, got a few shots of, like the rest of the Caribbean, just except it's a bigger island.
Bigger island.
Different topographies, valleys, some lands, farmland. They grow a lot of tobacco there for cigars.
Okay.
And things like that. But then again, that's another one of those things. Everything is owned by the government.
Everything's owned by
everything.
The government. Everything. Wow. You got a question you want to ask him about Cuba?
No.
Anything? If you think of something?
You sure?
He's an eighth grader.
Just go, man. Just go.
Just from an eighth grader perspective.
All right.
Anything.
Did you see anything you didn't expect there?
Good question.
Well, my mind is usually pretty wide open, so, even an observation doesn't usually blow me all the way, but I was surprised by how much poverty there was in the urban areas. A lot of times in cultures where there's communism,
mm-hmm.
they hide it.
Okay.
Make sure the poverty's inside where people can't see
it.
But a lot of it was outside. And there was a lot of beauty, but where people are and where people lack, there's some ugly. It's just unmistakable.
Hmm. So. Do you see a lot of cell phones?
Yeah, but they're talking to each other. They're not talking to people in
the US. Talking within Cuba.
Yeah, they're talking to
iPhones, stuff like that.
Yeah, and they can communicate with people from other countries, if it's a country that they consider friendly to Cuba, they can't
communicate with America. The U.S. They can't go to an American website.
Right. If I need to wire some money down there, how I would get it there if I wanted to get some money to someone in Cuba, it is it's a minefield on how
you can't go to PayPal.
Right. And there's even with the embargo being loosened right now, there's things that are opened up right now that make certain things possible. Yet there's a don't touch it. There's a, you know, while this is at the forefront, there's a don't, you know, Cuba, don't touch it. Whether it's an institution here, or like Spain, they have normalized relationship with them. And so some of the things that I may be doing may be through a guy that I met who's in Spain.
In Spain.
Yeah, the quickest way for me to go 90 miles is to go from the U.S. to Spain to
all
Cuba.
Right. Wow. You know, you mentioned pride. Did you, with all the poverty, living off what, $14 a day, you said?
$14 a month.
A month. $14 a month.
$16 to $18 a month.
Okay. With all that poverty, were they still proud to be black?
Yeah, yeah. People tend to be proud of who they are because of the fight that's in them. You know, to whatever degree the fight is, the fight that I overcame, the fight that I may not have overcome, but they didn't get me down. The fight that I didn't give up. The fight that I was still able to raise my children. I'm raising my children. The fight that comes from hope. Says no matter what's against me, I'm getting something out of this.
Right.
And so that exists in the human spirit. It can be crushed.
Right.
But it's not easy to crush. You got to keep pummeling on a regular basis, and that's why whether it's a dictatorship or any other type of leadership decides to oppress people, they have to know.
Right.
No matter what time, what period, what era, people get tired of it and they overthrow it.
Wow, Chris, you've been all over the world. You've been in China. You've been to Israel. You've been to Kenya. You've been to throughout East Africa. And you've been a Cuban, of course, you're from America. All those places have a lot of self-pride of who they are.
Right.
A lot of them places are poor.
Right.
Why do you think you come back home to America, you see a group of African-Americans who practice self-hatred against each other?
Well,
and look in a mirror and sometimes want to be lighter than what they are, want their hair to be different than what it was designed to be.
Right.
Try to be everything except the natural beauty that God have blessed them.
Well, there's a few answers that I have for that, and that's not definitely not the book on it, but a few answers for that. One of the things is that exists in individuals too, even where people have pride. It's a decision. Well, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was had a few more muscles. Wish I had this. And so that part of it. Mm-hmm. But from our aspect of being African Americans, I mean, it's been pummeled into us. Whereas a lot of people who are come from families that endured slavery in parts of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. South America, they were allowed to keep part of their culture.
Right.
Whereas here, the pieces of the culture that came from Africa we were allowed to keep were very slim. I mean, it was the process of step by step, constantly weeding away any type of connection to family, to community, was very, very intricate in the United States in ways that it wasn't in a lot of the other places. Not that slavery in and of itself was good in any of those places, but it is a different. The African American does have a different position in the world. And I'm only going by my own opinion. You can go any. When I first started taking ministry mission trips, I began to remember something that a missionary that I met by the name of Dr. Patricia Bailey.
Okay.
I remember when she told me. Now this is a black woman from the tobacco lands of North Carolina, and she's about my age, maybe a year or two old or something like that. But she, the first time I heard her speaking, she talked about being a missionary and different. She's been over to like 160 countries now.
Wow.
Yeah, 160 something countries. And everywhere she goes, she got used to the idea of people asking, well, where the rest?
Right.
Where the rest of the black people? And especially, when we going to see a black man? That still happens today. The expectation that on a mission field, and I say mission field, I don't mean this. There's hundreds of ways to be involved in mission fields. They're not all the same thing.
Right.
You know, mine are always short-term mission trips because I haven't felt a call to go live in a certain environment for a year, 2 year, 5 year, anything like that.
Right.
But there's this constant call from the rest of the world, where's a black man? Now, we thought about it. There is absolutely no people group on the earth that moves the rest of the world in culture more than young African Americans from the United States.
Mm. Wow.
Period.
Hear that, T?
Yeah. Now, so whether it's not even close.
Right.
It's not even close. Whether it's fashion, whether it's music, whether it's swag, whether, you know, my friend told me, you know, years ago, you go to the Dalit tribe, the Untouchables of India. Right. Hey, the heroes are the Black Panthers.
Right.
And what does that come out of? The Black Panthers were young African-American youth 40, 50 years ago.
So that our culture impacts the world.
Big time. So there is, so both spiritually and technically, socially, there is a bona fide attack on who we perceive ourselves to be. Also, who we are, there's a possibility of us playing our own part in perverting who we are. Even when the talents, the gifts, the skills, all these things come out, we have the opportunity to use them well, to use them positively, or to use them wrongly, negatively.
Right. Wow.
But either way,
right,
that thing, that it that touches the world is there, and it goes out whether it is a perversion or through righteousness.
Wow. Pastor Chris Burns is here.
You'll make me preach up.
Yeah, that's all right, brother. That's all right. WBSLP 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. T, you got a question you want to ask him? Well, I got a couple more. You don't have anything?
No.
Okay. Panama. You went to Panama.
Right.
How long was you in Panama?
I was in Panama 4 days.
4 days.
Yeah.
And are there Black people in Panama?
A lot of Black people in Panama. Mr. Martinez, there are a lot of people familiar with Mr. Martinez. And I think about my whole life, I've heard people say, well, is he Black or what? Is he Black or what?
Right.
You know, if you ask him, he says, yeah, I'm Black.
What do we, right.
You know,
right.
You know, and if you went through his family tree, you see some people in his family, like my family tree, who are very dark. Some were very light. Some have nappy hair. Some have curly, straight hair.
Right.
Panama is definitely also another nation that's brown, Black, browner. They have native tribes, nations that have also settled at that area, and then there's the colonization that happened through Spaniards and what have you. But it's very much a brown nation.
Wow, you never see those. I knew as Actionet, but you really don't see those images.
No,
you even from Brazil.
Yeah,
the images of Brazil.
Second blackest.
Outside
country
Africa.
In the world. Right. Yeah. Only Nigeria is more.
Right. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the images?
Well, who's sending the image? that's the bottom line. Who's sending the image?
Who's sending the image?
Yeah. I'm not mad at them for not sending whoever them is for not sending an image that is not all-inclusive.
Right.
Because it is the nature of people to be kind of narrow and kind of cultish. You know, we talked about that earlier, how when you speak to people from Africa, they're kind of thrown aback or surprised that your questions, your conversation is different than what they would expect. And that's more of a people thing that you have to, you know, if you haven't made a decision early that you're just going to be open, or you decide that you're not going to be narrow. You're going to actually look at something and keep looking until you get some understanding,
right,
and then go from there, as opposed to just, you know, letting whatever flies off the top of your head or, you know, out of your mouth. Then, you know,
how many countries have you been to?
I don't know. It's not a whole lot, though.
You said about 20?
This is less than 20. It's definitely less than 20.
Can you name off a few?
Panama.
We know that. Cuba. Right.
What's the other ones out there in the Caribbean? Bahamas.
The other ones? Dominicans? Jamaica?
No, way out there. I forget the name. I always forget the name of that. But anyway, I'll jump out of the Caribbean. Canada doesn't count, but Canada.
Bermuda.
No, I'll go to Europe. But Denmark, Italy, France, China, on the continent, Kenya, Liberia, Ghana, Sierra Leone. It's more than 10, but it's less than 20. So
Israel.
It's somewhere.
You forgot Israel.
Yeah, Israel. Yeah. yeah, that was amazing. It's always amazing. Yeah.
When you travel, you learn a lot, don't you?
You learn, yeah. If you're willing to.
You're willing to learn.
Right. If somebody tells you that water is wet and you decide, I don't believe that, then you've decided not to learn. Now you can accept it or you can reject it, but, you know, give it a shot.
Before we go, you mentioned the Moors. A lot of people might not know the impact of the Moors.
Yeah.
Explain the impact of the Moors and who are Black Africans from Northern Africa.
The Northern Africans.
Who had impact on civilization in Europe. Can you talk about that?
Portugal, Spain, and Spain especially, but all of Europe, because they are the ones that brought they brought a lot of the science and a lot of what's considered culture now in Spain to Spain. And so while a person from Spain may have a great deal of pride in Spanish history, the European connection, a great deal of that connection came from the Moors. who they fought over centuries, right, you know, right. And but, you know, you fight with people and they still end up being your neighbors. They right. still end up, you know, right. It's like, I can't stand them, but I do like the way they made this particular food.
Right.
Well, I hate those people, but I do like the way they play this particular instrument.
Right.
You know, we don't want them around, but we want their science, you know, and that's what happens when people come together, whether they do it egregiously or, you know, people become slaves of different nations,
right.
Not just in recent centuries, but over the years, you know, you end up bringing a bunch of people in as slaves. Guess what? You're going to pick up some of their culture. And right. you're keep
Why so, we never hear about the Moors in school?
Who's telling the story? It always ends up, who's telling the story? What's their motive? And while I don't have time to go around checking everybody's motive to see if they got horns or everything like thing like that, there is a way to get at the truth. And, right. and it usually has to do with what Jesus Christ did, you know, right. ask simple questions.
Right.
You know, it seems like a silly thing to walk up to a man who's blind and ask him, what does he want? It's like, what kind of silly question is that?
Right.
But it's good that he did ask, because, you know,
right.
it
right.
might the answer not, might not be what you think it's going to be.
Right.
And we
right.
think that all even if we sit down here and look at all of the same facts, we may come to a different conclusion.
Right.
You know, I'd be right and you'd be wrong. That's right. That's
right. Do you do any PowerPoint presentations on your journeys?
I wouldn't say PowerPoint. Okay. I wouldn't say
you do speakings.
It's different things in different situations. If I go, I haven't done this, but if I went to with a group who was going to be digging wells, I dig wells. If I was going with a group who were going to be planting in fields, that's what I do. I go with a group who was going to be building structures, that's what I would do. My main reason for being there is to pray. The main reason I end up there is because of prayer. Something happens in prayer. God gives me a direction, and then He makes the way, because the way is not usually something that's just right there and simple most of the time.
Wow. You mentioned that a lot today, and even us talking off the air, their prayer.
Prayer.
Is that one of the most important things for you?
It's the most important thing. If He's God, He's the most important thing. The idea that I don't talk to Him is really silly. You know, and the idea that He could be God and He doesn't talk back is even sillier. Everybody in this room can talk back to each other, but right. nobody in here is God, per se. Then why wouldn't the creator of the whole universe be able to talk? So we need to hone our relationship with Him. He's talking, and He's talking all the time. And He's talking not just in generalities. Whoever is listening, He's talking to you.
All right. Pastor Burns, Chris Burns, brother of Melvin Burns. I don't know who the oldest is now. Who the oldest?
I got him by a year and a half.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Now, what church you go to?
I go to Agape Christian Fellowship Center under the direction of Pastor Melvin C. Burns II.
So you helped him out. You help him out there.
Yes, I do.
All right. Yes. Great guy, man. Great family. Say hello to moms for me.
Hey. Yeah. Same here.
Yes. Thank you.
I love me some Billings.
Yeah. We grew up together, man. His mom was my Cub Scout, T. Yeah. His mom was my Cub Scout leader. And I learned a lot from them and grew up under their leadership, man.
You know, I haven't seen Eddie since we graduated.
I haven't seen Eddie this year either. So.
But I haven't seen
this year. He's busy. Talking about miles, he got a million miles. He got those million miles.
Eddie was one of my heroes before I knew he was a hero, because, you know, you don't think of a hero as being something. We were little kids at Lindbergh Elementary School.
Right.
There was a bully in the class. The bully was a female,
right.
and the person who was being bullied was a male.
Okay.
Everybody got along with this guy, nice guy.
Right.
And everybody pretty much got along, but you could, you know, she was.
Right.
And I remember one day, Eddie said, "Look, why don't you stop that? You're all up in his face doing this and so on and so on and so.
Right.
Why don't you do that to me? Why don't you do that to me?"
Right.
It stopped that day. We were in fifth and sixth grade.
Wow, that's his character.
Yes.
I don't get a chance to talk about my brother, but I am proud to say he is one of the best engineers at General Motors.
All right.
When the President Obama got ready to meet with the President of General Motors, the President of General Motors had to meet with my brother.
Wow.
To give the President of the United States a report.
Wow.
So, and that's the Muskegon Heights grad, University of Michigan grad.
Paths keep crossing.
Yeah.
I keep in contact with Marlon Young. They used to hang together with General Motors when he was in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Years ago.
Wow.
Paths keep crossing.
Thank you, Pastor Burns. Coming up, we got another missionary coming up. Pastor Rod Stevenson's coming up next. So,
all right,
thank you, man. This has been nice. It's been real nice. Keep it here.